In John, the book of John, chapter number 6 with me. John, chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Something right there do us good to do when we're fixing to eat is to always be thankful for what we got. Doesn't matter if it's little or much. Don't matter if we're sitting down at Longhorns or if we're eating a stick of bologna. We ought to thank God for it. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Notice here he was speaking to his disciples about cleanup duty. You know, I've noticed something about when we have a fellowship here, everybody likes to eat. Everybody likes to get filled up, but let somebody pull out a broom and folks go to scattering. Somebody say amen. But you notice he didn't say to the crowds, gather up the fragments. He didn't say to the crowd, do the clean up. He said to his disciples, let's clean this thing up. Now, he said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Wonder how many times we've ever come to church and got a good filling up on the good blessings of God, and then we went out and lost it. You hear what he's saying right here? Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Have you ever felt like when you got charged up at church, that you, hey, wasn't nothing you couldn't do for the Lord, and you was willing to go out and just charge hell with a water gun? And then the first thing you do is get out there and fall on your face and you lose it. You lose your witness. You lose your testimony. Let the devil trip you up. Jesus said, after you get filled up, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet should come into the world. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for our church, Lord, our pastor, Lord, and Lord, for the flock, God, that you've assembled here at this place, Lord. God, as we gathered here tonight, Lord, we pray, God, you'd meet in our midst tonight, God, every need, Lord. God, You know all about us tonight, Lord, even better than we know ourselves. Lord, we pray, God, that, Lord, You'd set a table before us now, God, and help us, Lord, to feed, God, and get strength, Lord, that we might live closer to You, God, and do Your will in our lives. Lord, we love You and ask Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in verse number 6. He says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now I want to preach tonight with this thought in mind, the lad and his loaves. Now, if you look at the Gospels, you'll find that this particular miracle that Christ performed is significant enough in the eyes of God that it's recorded in each one of the Gospels. But you'll only find this lad mentioned in John's Gospel. Well, let's look at what this young man was able to contribute to this meeting this day and how his little contribution right here touched the lives of thousands of people that day. You'll never know what little input, what little you do for the Lord, how it's going to affect somebody. You hear me now? God wants to use you. But you know, oftentimes we let the devil tell us we can't, we're too little, we're too unable or not qualified enough to do a work for God. But listen, friend, if you'll put a little in it, God will make much out of it. And I think this scripture right here proves it to us tonight. This lad right here, all he had was 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But let's look at the story right here, how it takes place tonight. There's a lot that's in this passage of Scripture right here that we could look at, but I want us to focus on this lad and his loaves. Notice, first of all, there's a crisis that's presented. Let me tell you something, friend. Every time we gather together at the house of God, each and every one of us comes into this place with a special need in our life. You may be shouting it out tonight. You may be on the mountaintop. But let me tell you something. You don't know what that person next to you is going through. You don't know what kind of need they have in their life. There's people that comes to the house of God with a crisis going on in their life, and they need some help. And thank God they know where to come to get the help. There's a crisis that's presented right here. First of all, you'll see the people. There was a great multitude, it says in verse number 2, that followed Him. Why was they following Him? Because they saw the miracles which He had done on them that were diseased. I'm glad I've been down at the house of God a lot of times and I've seen some miracles performed. I've seen a lot of folks come into the house of God with special needs in their life, but the greatest miracle I believe I've ever seen at the house of God is for an old sin, hell-bound sinner to come in, loaded down with a multitude of sins in his life, and God just take them all away from him and save his soul. We still serve a God of miracles. If you want to see a miracle, friend, just look right here. I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle. For God to save a wretch like me, for God to have mercy on something like me, friend, you're looking at a miracle tonight. And if you'll just be honest, you're a miracle too. That God would reach to where you were and save your rotten soul one day. Listen to me, friend. There was a people. And there was a place. If you study the Gospels right here and the other accounts of this right here, you'll find that the place was a desert place. It was a lonely place. It was a place that Jesus had gone up into a mountain. It was away from the city, away from the town. It was dark. The day was far spent. It was a weary part of the day. Darkness was about to come upon this place. Let me tell you, friend, these folks that come in here, friend, is in a dark place in their life. Great needs. Wonder if there's anybody tonight that has a need in their life. If I sat down and took an inventory of myself and I was really honest, I'd say I could find some needs that I need God's help with in my life. I need Him to draw nigh to me. I need to draw nigh to Him. I want God to use me. I want to please Him. And this is where we come to get strength. This is where we come to get help for our life. This is where we come to get geared up and armored up to go out and stand against the wiles of the devil. And all you have to do, friend, is miss a few times at church, and you'll see He's got you. He's got you right where He wants you. But the place, friend, it was a desert place. And it was a dark place, and evening was coming. And there was people there that was hungry. There was people there that was hurting, friend. They had a plight about them. They wanted Jesus to do something for them. You know, a lot of times, we look in the wrong places for help, don't we? Amen. Why are we so hard-headed that we won't get in a prayer closet and pray? Why are we so unconcerned that when people ask us to pray for them, we'll agree, yeah, we'll pray for you, and then we'll go right out and forget about praying for them? There's people with needs, friends. There's a crisis that's presented right here in this chapter right here, and they needed Jesus to fill it, to fix it. We need it here at Liberty Baptist Church. Every time we gather, friend, there's people that need something. We need to make sure they get it before they leave this place. People hurting. There's people that needs hope. There's people that needs help. And friend, there's a great lesson right here about this little old lad and his loaves. He stepped up and filled a place that the disciples failed to fill. We better learn from this experience right here what God expects out of you and I in our life. This crisis presented, we see a people that's in need, a place that's getting dark, a plight. They were hungry. They needed help. They needed hope. But I see pity. Pity. Compassion. Compassion. Let me tell you something. I believe we've lost our compassion. Amen. Wonder if we've got a burden. Let me say, examine yourself right now. When's the last time you had a burden for somebody that was lost? When's the last time that you got in on your face before God and wept for a lost loved one that's dying and going to hell if God doesn't reach down and save them? You know what the disciples said to Jesus when they come there? They were hungry. They said, send them away. Send them away. But no, Jesus looked at them and He had compassion upon them. Let me tell you something, friend. When somebody comes into Liberty Baptist Church with a need in their life, and we may not even know it, friend, but we ought to have compassion and realize that God wants to do a work every time we gather together at this place, and there'll always be somebody with a need. You don't gather this many people together, friend, and everything gets to be a bed of roses. We have needs. We ought to care one for another. We ought to pray one for another. And listen, if you hurt, I ought to hurt. If you're rejoicing, I want to rejoice with you. But we ought to care one for another. Oh, the crisis that's presented. Our place at Liberty, friend, ought to be a... Listen, friend. It ought not to be a dark place as they were gathering that. It ought to be a place of light at Liberty Baptist Church. It ought to be a place of light, a place where people can come and get help and get hope renewed in their life. If they're hungry, feed them. God would be pleased with us, wouldn't He? Amen. There's a crisis presented. But notice, friend, in verse number 5, there's a challenge that's proposed. Verse 5 says, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him, He saith unto Philip. Jesus ever spoke to you? Look what he says. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Hey, you ever been in church service and the Lord God spoke to you through that of the Holy Ghost? Has he ever singled you out? Has he ever asked something of you in a church service? And what'd you do? He didn't turn to the whole group of his disciples. He went specifically to Philip. He said, now, Philip, what are we going to do? Now, he knew what he was going to do. The verse, next verse tells us. But he was putting Philip to the test. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a little lad that was a key instrument in this miracle. There may be a time at Liberty Baptist Church when the Holy Ghost moves upon you. Just as the Lord spoke to Philip right there, he may speak to you. You may be the key that unlocks a miracle at Liberty Baptist Church. Not just here, but it may be down on your job. It may be somewhere out on the street somewhere. But he says, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now listen. He was speaking right here about physical bread. But can I just throw this in to you right here tonight? We've got the bread of life. We've got Jesus living within us. And we've got some bread, friend, to share with somebody that's hungry, that needs God in their life, that needs salvation in their life. Jesus has given us everything that we need to go out and win this world to Him if we'll just be willing to share it. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? He's given us that bread. Notice, friend, in this challenge that's proposed right here, the size of the challenge. There was 5,000 men beside women and children. Now, for the natural man, for the abilities within ourselves, friend, there's going to be some challenges that'll come our way that's just too big for us to handle. Can I tell you, we need God's help. And thank God He'll not ask anything of you and me that He won't partner with us in. He'll never send you out without being right there beside you. He'll always be with you. He'll always be your strength. He'll always be your power if you'll just let Him. Now in this challenge that's presented, it was enormous in size. Well, the first thing His disciples did, they took an inventory and they found out it was insufficient. Why? Well, they looked at the money side of it. And their finances come up short. And then, friend, they looked at their within their sales, friend. What can I do? It's not what I can do, friend. Look at verse number 5 right there. It's what we can do. We can do. You. Not you and me, you and Jesus, me and Jesus. Jesus said, what can we do right here? When shall we buy bread that these may eat? We're insufficient within ourselves. And can I say this, friend? There's too many places that tries to throw money at things that God wants to work a miracle in, friend, and it ain't money's not the problem. There's a lot of things that money can't fix. And there's a whole lot of things that man can't fix. You can buy every book Dr. Fields wrote. You can watch every episode of Oprah. And you can buy Rick Warren's books and what's old Smiley Alchunder, all of his books. And let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to come up short. You're going to turn up a failure. What we need to do in our life is make sure that Jesus is in what we're doing. You'll find out right here in just a minute, friend, when He took the loaves and the fishes, friend, He broke them, friend, and He blessed them. If we'll just get in on what He's a blessing, we can be a blessing and we can be blessed. Notice in this challenge the size, the selection. Boy, he picked Philip out of the whole crowd. Thousands of people there. He selected Philip in this test. I hope He picked you. I hope He puts you to the test. Somebody say amen. I hope He puts you to the test. I hope He challenges you. Hey, we need a challenge. Let me tell you something. The preacher can't do everything. The Sunday school teacher can't do everything. The deacons can't do everything. We need to be challenged at Liberty Baptist Church. Hope He calls your name. Notice the size of selection, but the solution. As I mentioned a while ago, in the other Gospels, the easy thing to do was send them away. Get them on out of here. Let them go help themselves. Ain't what God wants. He wants everybody that comes to the house of God to get filled. Hey, we ought not to come to the house of God and leave here empty. We ought to get something. I mean, hey, we've done put forth an effort to get here. We ought to want something. We ought not to be satisfied leaving like we came. Amen. Send them away. Notice in verse 8 and 9. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Listen, don't sell God short. Don't sell Him short. Hey, what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Somebody say, I can do it. Somebody didn't say, I can do it. Say it loud. Say, I can do it. Through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I hope He puts a challenge to each and every one of us that we could make a difference in somebody's life. Lastly, I want to get to this point right here. There's a crisis presented, a challenge proposed, but a child's participation. There's been times when a little old kid just blessed my heart. I tell you, I sit right there on Sunday morning and watch them little old kids come give their money. It blesses me. And when they play the piano up here, that blesses my heart. Brother Tim, you had 2 little old boys up here at the choir the other day that stood up there just bold as a lion, waving their arms. And man, if at my age, if when I was their age, if somebody asked me to do that, I'd have run and hit the door. But you know what? Kids can be a blessing if we'll give them the opportunity. Amen. Boy, when the youth choir sings, it blesses my heart. I'm glad to see mamas and daddies bring their kids to church and get them involved. Amen. This old boy right here, this lad of a boy right here, I bet you his mom and daddy was out there in the crowd somewhere. I bet you they was following Jesus that day and they had the kids with them. What a day in their life. Notice, friend, in this child's participation, friend, that God used this child to impact the lives and eternity of thousands of people that day. The supply. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. The supply was small, wasn't it? But notice this. Barley loaves was a poor man's bread. Barley loaves was a poor man's bread. But he had five loaves. Five is the number of grace. And he had two small fishes. Two is the number of witness or support or partnership. You take grace, friend. You put yourself in there as one of these small fish, and you put Jesus in there, will you? If you got grace and you got Jesus, friend, you can see things go to happening in your life. Hey, listen to me. Hey, this poor man's bread, friend, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." Grace. Grace. Boy, we need grace. We need grace that we can share with others. Let me tell you something, friend. These two little old fish was meat. We need some meat. We need some meat for the journey. We don't need to be little baby Christians. We need some meat for the journey, don't we? Amen. His supply was small. His service was not selfish. Can you imagine this little old boy? He had his five biscuits there. We from the South, I call them biscuits. And he had two small fishes. But you know, if you study back in the other Gospels, Jesus said, "Bring them to me." I can just see that little old boy hand his lunch there to Jesus. Been walking all day, hungry, but he was willing to give all that he had to the Master. We ought to be that humble in our service. We ought to be humble enough to realize that everything we have belongs to him. And if he asked us to do something, if he asked us to give something, we ought to be willing to give. Right down to the very last thing. That's all he had. Lad of a boy. Gave his five loaves and his two fishes. And you notice something too about this service. When a disciple spoke, all he said was, "There's a lad here." Bible don't give his name. The Bible doesn't mention anything about his name. Boy, you know what? I remember a church I used to go to. A project come up in the church, you know, and maybe we're going to remodel the choir. We're going to do this or that and the other. We'd take pledges. People stand up, "I'll give so-and-so." Somebody else try to outdo him, "I'll give so-and-so." Which was stupid. Stupid. There was people, hey, there may have been somebody that could give $1,000 and still had $100,000 left. They might have been somebody that could just give $10 and that's all they had. Kind of like the widow with the two mites. She put into the treasury all that she had. And God said she'd give more than all of them. She'd give more than all of them. This child's participation, his service was selfless. His service, he surrendered all that he had. Boy, that was a step of faith, wasn't it? Boy, don't that put the disciples to shame right there? What happened to them, friend? They saw the crowds. They saw the lack. And their faith was on a nosedive. But this lad gave to Jesus. His faith was increasing. I believe he trusted him. He trusted him. I believe he'd seen some miracles performed. I really believe he believed that Jesus wasn't going to send him away hungry. All this child's participation, friend, his supply, his service, was sufficient for a miracle. Let me tell you something. What you contribute, if you'll take up your cross and follow Jesus, if you'll make a contribution of yourself, of your service, if you'll surrender yourself to Him, you can see some miracles as you journey through life. God will use you. He did this lad with the loaves, didn't He? Can I tell you this? One thing that lad done, he come prepared. Huh? When they gathered there, he was prepared. He come packed. He had something with him. You know what? When we come in these doors right here, if we'd bring something with us, if we'd come prepared, we could see more things happen. Amen? He brought his 5 loaves and his 2 fishes. He was prepared. Hey, can I challenge you to do something? Before you come back in these doors again, get prepared for service. Get prepared for worship. Ask God to create in you a clean heart and a right spirit. That don't cost you nothing but just humility and confession. Because we need cleaning up. Every one of us needs cleaning up before we come before God to worship Him. We need cleaning, don't we? There's none good, no, not one. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's what the Bible says. And we come to the house of God to worship Him if we got unconfessed sin in our heart, friend, no wonder we don't get blessed. No wonder we can't feel nothing at the house of God. We come in dirty. He come prepared. He come to participate. He come and presented all He had. The lad and his loaves. Hey, can I ask you this? What are you going to bring Sunday? What you going to bring? That's my message. Stand with me.